Welcome to the Early Edge, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. We've got another great show for you today. It's Talk Back Tuesday, so make sure you get your questions in the chat. We've got tennis questions we can get to. We've got PGA, MLB, WNBA, whatever you've got, we will have it answered. By the way, 43 days away from NFL kickoff, Troy Polamalu days. Let's see how we did on the recap screen. It was a losing day for us. Listen, we had two picks on Zach Wheeler, and those didn't go well. That certainly flips the recap. 4-2 would have been great with Zach Wheeler, but we go 2-4. Shout out to Adam Thompson. He went 1-2, but almost went 2-2. EC goes 1-2. And we had a void bet that didn't take place. So let's bring in, actually, before we bring in the stars of the show, let's get a pick out there. Let's bring out the Detroit Tigers money line, minus 135. EC has been red hot, and he's on the Tigers money line, minus 135. So we are two. Let's bring in the stars of the show. We got Danny Brasco in the chat. We got Weekday Wagers in the chat. Mike McClure's in the chat. Also on the show, Matt Snyder, Calvin Wetzel, Zach Simony. Mike, I got to start with you because I think when you're on the show, it could be anything, right? Could be NASCAR, could be hockey, could be NFL, could be college, could be PGA. But today, we've got tennis in my backyard. You've got a tennis pick, right?
Got a tennis pick today. You know, this tournament in D.C. kind of, for me, signifies like the summer is here. We're ahead of the U.S. Open. Once the U.S. Open lands, that's the same week as college football. So this is kind of a little bit of the last bit of the off season for football, if you will. I'm very much into this tournament. It's one that I think is a little underrated on the ATP Tour.
Calvin Wetzel, we've got a big WNBA slate today, do we not?
We do. It's the return from All-Star break. So two-thirds of the league is in action tonight. Coming off the break, the rest of the league basically is in action tomorrow. A lot of games, a lot of question marks on injury reports, so keep an eye out for that. But really good slate.
And Zach, you and the Sniper are going to be bringing MLB. How are we feeling about today's slate, Zach?
I'm feeling good. You know, I go over a couple of games at night, and then I do the bulk of my assessment during the morning. So still have to review the board in totality, but do have one play to offer today.
All right. Well, Sniper, you're going to lead us off. You're going to lead us off with a couple of plays here. We've already got plays in the chat. And again, Sniper, you, among others, are going to be answering a lot of MLB questions. We got Rick Funcannon says he's on the Reds run line today, -1.5, which I don't hate with Burns on the mound. What do you like today? What are the official picks, Sniper?
Well, I'll tell you what I like. I like being the leadoff man. Being the leadoff man is great. I'm going to go to Chicago, and we're going to go with Gerrit Cole over 6.5 strikeouts. You can get it at plus money. I found it as high as plus 110. He had 13 strikeouts in his last two games before the All-Star break. Since the All-Star break, he's gone 8 and then 11 in his two starts so far. Kind of starting to get back to look like his old self now, as we're about a season and a half removed from that Tommy John surgery. The White Sox are a high volume strikeout team, 7th in the majors in strikeout percentage. Not any different really when you split it down to right-handers, still 7th in the majors in strikeout percentage against righties. So I like Cole on the strikeouts. Even if you are some of those people in the chat who don't like to bet on the Yankees, they can still lose. He can still strike out 7 and the White Sox could win. That would be perfectly fine. We just need him to get to that 7 strikeout, and it's going to happen tonight. Also, we're going to go out west to a late game. I'm going to pick on Michael Lorenzen against lefties again. He's giving up a .348 average with a .622 slugging percentage to left-handers this year. Even on the road, I know he pitches for the Rockies. Even on the road, his ERA is over 5. Jackson Merrill, left-handed hitter for the Padres, has been really, really hot. In his last 8 games, he's hitting .433 with 5 home runs and 8 RBI. This month, .298 with a .571 slugging percentage. In terms of this prop, hits plus runs plus RBI, 65 in 22 games this month, so almost 3 a game. We just need him to hit the way he's been hitting the rest of the month, and he's facing a guy who gets absolutely torn up by lefties. So we're running with Jackson Merrill in this one.
All right, a couple of plays. We've got a lot of questions in the chat, which we'll get to throughout the show. But Sniper, real quick, I am Stanek says, anyone think Gavin Sheets can homer tonight plus 500 against Colorado? Sniper, your response.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, it's like you're picking on Michael Lorenzen. He gets absolutely shredded by left-handed hitters, but he's, you know, he gets hit by both sides of the plate pretty well. So, yes, anything against Lorenzen, I'm going to like tonight.
Calvin, no pressure, but we have somebody in the chat who appears to have a birthday today. So happy birthday to Bruce Green. And Bruce Green is asking, Calvin, can we get a 2-0 birthday parlay? So I guess that's a two-leg birthday parlay. How to interpret that? Maybe at the end of the show, can you put a couple things together, Calvin?
I could. Yeah, I got one official pick, but I can come up with something else to throw in there as well.
Yeah, maybe an SGP. Maybe we'll throw in a prop in there as well. All right, we're going to get to the W in a second. But, Mike, let's get back to tennis. Talk to me about your tennis play in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Washington, D.C. This is a big matchup for an opening round matchup in the U.S. here. It's going to be Stefanos Tsitsipas and Alex de Minaur. I'm going to play Tsitsipas here as the underdog, currently plus 111. Been a little movement on this. I do make him a slight favorite in this match. I think that basically at the book with the juice should be minus 110 on both sides at this point. A lot going on here in this individual head-to-head. Tsitsipas, someone finally found his way back to the winner's circle, essentially, after an entire year, a little bit more than a year. Really good to see him find that form a little bit again. De Minaur is the defending event champion. He won this event a year ago. I like this spot, though. I think De Minaur could maybe be a little distracted. He has not had success at all in this particular head-to-head matchup as well, one that Tsitsipas has really dominated. But for De Minaur, he just got married. Coming off of the marriage, coming off of the honeymoon, yes, it's to another professional tennis player, but a little bit of distraction in the camp, talking about cutting the honeymoon short after 2 days to get on a flight for this tournament. I think a lot going on in his life. This is a matchup, again, that Stefanos Tsitsipas has dominated in this head-to-head. I like his return to form a little bit. The fact that he was able to break through and get a win, has had success already on hard courts outdoors in this particular matchup. It's just the sheer strength, really. Tsitsipas, a bigger player, 6'4", around 200 pounds. De Minaur, I believe he weighs like 148, 150. He gets a little overpowered when Stefanos is able to locate, particularly with that one-handed backhand that he is really so famous for. I like Tsitsipas as the underdog here. Again, I think it should be a slight favorite. I know it's the defending event champion in De Minaur, but I like Tsitsipas here as the underdog.
We're going to talk a little golf on this show. We're going to get back to baseball. Actually, Sniper, I want to get your take on Rick Funcannon's play, Reds minus 1.5. I feel like that was the sport, if I remember correctly, that play was our sports line pick yesterday that ended up getting voided. The reason I think that's such an important play that the chat will be interested in is because that's at 140 today with Ciccone and Chase Burns on the mound here. So before you get to that, though, I don't want to forget this question, Mike. It's a golf question. For a long shot, do you have any preference between Ben Coles, Jacob Bridgman, or Michael Brennan?
Let me pull up my data here. Coles, Bridgman, or Brennan? I will lean Bridgman. Brennan's fine as well. Great off the tee game. Lean Bridgman still.
All right. I would probably lean just to Coles because he's the hot hand, but I like all three of those. It would be probably Coles for me. Coles, I think, has the longest odds, so if you want to factor that in. By the way, it's Ciccone, right? My bad on that. But, Sniper, talk to me about that game at 140 today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brutal pitching matchup for the Guardians with Slade Ciccone versus Chase Burns, obviously heavily on the red side. If you remember yesterday on the noon show, I was asked for a home run prop, and I said Ellie De La Cruz because you're a great American ballpark. You can never go wrong. Ciccone gets touched up by lefties. Ellie's a switch hitter. So any Ellie prop in that first game I love, as well as anything on the Reds.
Okay. More MLB questions, more MLB picks, because Zach's got a pick as well. BetMGM players, speaking of MLB, will receive an MLB parlay boost to use the token. Just make an MLB parlay, and if you win, you'll receive extra winnings in unrestricted bonus dollars. Also, BetMGM players will receive a WNBA odds boost. Just make a bet on the WNBA tonight, and if you win your wager that was made with the odds boost token, you'll receive extra winnings in unrestricted bonus dollars. MLB and WNBA odds boosts and tokens from BetMGM. All right, Zach, we got to get to your pick on the Yankees. We got to get to more WNBA. We got to get to my golf outright that I kind of dropped yesterday, but I'm officially dropping today. And the home run chart, we'll cover it all right after this message from our partners. We're back on The Early Edge, brought to you by BetMGM. So if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, first of all, thank you for listening. You might have heard a different ad or a different message from our partners during the break, but what we heard on the live show, or what we saw, was something from Paramount Plus, which leads me to this. If there's a show on Paramount Plus that you love, maybe it's a new show, maybe it's an old show, let us know in the chat. I want to get on a new show. Maybe I haven't found something that Paramount Plus has to offer. Let us know what you like on Paramount Plus. A lot of good content, a lot of good shows there. Zach, talk to me about your play on the Yankees tonight.
Yeah, see, attacking their team total over 4.5 runs, and that is at plus money. I had them yesterday on HQ with A-Mags, and this has been where the Yankees have flourished without having Aaron Judge in the lineup. We know he's been out since June 1st, and their best series in terms of runs without Aaron Judge was against the White Sox last month. They scored 23 runs in three games, and one of those was against today's starter in Anthony Kay. Yankees win where they won 10-5. We saw what they did yesterday where they totaled 9 runs, and they were 5-for-12 with runners in scoring position. And then when you look at it for the long haul, the Yankees have scored 5 or more runs in 9 out of their last 12 games against the White Sox. I think they go over their team total of 4 runs. And I don't mind a play on Nick Kurtz as well. We know he's been out of the lineup since July 9th, only played in 2 games, was off yesterday. But his last game out, he did hit a 3-run shot against the Minnesota Twins.
There's so many comments. A great pick from Zach. We got plus money too. So many comments on the Paramount Plus stuff. I threw in Mayor of Kingstown. I haven't even seen the last season. I guess it would be season 4. Can't wait to watch that. But Sniper, you put a show in there that I'm not super familiar with, but the chat seems to be. Real quick before we get to the WNBA picks, what was the show you pointed out?
Lioness.
Okay.
That was Brasco put that in before me. Yeah, that's good.
Either way. Okay.
It's a military ops movie where they train a woman to be called the Lioness and infiltrate cartels overseas. Pretty cool.
Is it like a Homeland vibe? Is that the feel?
A little more action.
Okay.
But yeah, somewhat.
All right. Speaking of action, we got to get to all the action in the WNBA. Keep putting your stuff in the chat. Maybe you have a favorite 43 you want to put in the chat or the YouTube comments. Obviously, we have the YouTube comments for people listening after the fact. Let us know what your favorite show on Paramount Plus is. Okay, we need some favorite picks. We also, Calvin, we might need a parlay for Bruce because it's his birthday. So what do you got?
We're going to start with my official pick, and we're going with Seattle Storm plus 9.5. And Dominique Malanga is questionable for them, so keep an eye on that. I'm grabbing it now because I do think she is going to play, and this is going to close at about 7.5 if she does. But when you look at this Seattle team, they're in last place. They haven't really been winning. That's why they keep getting this many points, but they've been barking as underdogs this year from a betting perspective. 9-2 against the spread as home underdogs. They've covered in 6 of their last 7, including a game last week against the same Indiana Fever team that they almost won. It took some late Caitlin Clark heroics for the Fever to escape that one by 3. And that's really been a Seattle theme for the last several weeks, is that they keep hanging in these games. They're right there in the last minute, and they just can't find a way to get over the hump and win. But if we're going to keep getting 7, 9, 11 points, we can keep cashing without them actually pulling out these wins. That game was in Indiana as well. Now Indiana comes to Seattle, where you got to go back to May 27, the last time Seattle did not cover as underdogs in this building. So I really like this young Seattle team, this young core who cannot find a way to win these games, but continues to find a way to stay in them. And that's all we need at plus 9.5. In terms of Dom Malanga, she's questionable. She looked fine at the All-Star game with throwing down that dunk. So I think she's going to be all right, which is why I'm grabbing it. But if you're listening back to this later on the audio version, if she is in, I would still play 7.5 if the report has come out by then. If not, I wouldn't go that far, but I would definitely still take up. This is going to move the other way if she's out, and I would still take up to at least 10.5 if she does get ruled out. But in terms of an SGP, FanDuel has Seattle to score first if you throw that in there, because Dom Malanga actually takes the jump ball. So this is going to be very correlated. If she plays, this is going to help Seattle score first quite a bit and also help the spread. So you're getting basically plus 200, plus 196 if you throw in Seattle to score first with Seattle plus 9.5. So you can go with that as a little SGP for the birthday. Or if you can't get FanDuel, maybe just a regular parlay, not an SGP. I also like the under 179.5 in the Fire Aces game. Aces have been playing a lot slower since Kennedy Carter left the lineup in the Fire, lost Sarah Ashley Barker, unfortunately, right before the break to that torn ACL, a big score for them. So you can put that under in there as well as if you can't get that score first. But best play on the board I like is Seattle plus 9.5.
Speaking of unders, let me know your thoughts on this. Lucas Mateo says, a lot of unders in the WNBA, rusty players still on vacay mode. Do you think there's any truth to that? Because there may not be.
I don't really think so. I think it kind of goes both ways because you have some of the players who were at All-Star Weekend who might be rusty coming off of travel, maybe did some partying this weekend. But you also have a lot of players who weren't there who just had a week off and are very fresh and are ready to push the pace. So I think it really kind of depends on the team and the players. And I don't think there's really blanket trends overall on the day after the All-Star break in terms of everyone goes over, everyone goes under. It's just kind of a case-by-case basis.
Mike, there's questions in the chat from earlier in the show. One from Ron Moore asking if there's any leans on overs in baseball today. However, before you answer that, Calvin, real quick, I looked at some of these lines tonight. Can you give me your thoughts on the Dream at the Wings? Because I can get the Wings on the money line at minus 124, and I feel like I'm kind of walking into a bit of a trap here. But we saw how the Dream really stumbled plenty of times before the All-Star break, unless I'm remembering that incorrectly. Any thoughts on that game from a side standpoint?
Yeah, I actually like the Wings in that one. That one's going to be tomorrow, so I'm going to have a play on that one, probably on HQ tonight. But yeah, Wings minus 1.5, minus 120 money line at home. I mean, this is implying that the Dream are a slightly better team, neutral or at least even. And I don't think that's the case. I think the Wings are just a better team right now. So I like that, and I think it's going to close at least 2.5, if not 3.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize it was tomorrow, but I'm glad I brought it up today because that line certainly might move, like you said, Calvin. Mike, any thoughts on maybe good hitting conditions, overs in baseball today?
I could co-sign on that Yankees over. Still lean over in the full game, actually, but Yankees team total, I do like. Little bit Chicago and St. Louis, don't love it at 9 now, but don't hate leaning into it as well. Others, mostly that Yankee one. Maybe a Brewers team total over, which will be 3.5.
That Yankees one consistent with Zach Simony. We got more MLB questions to get to. We got the home run chart. Let me give out my outright real quick. My first outright click. We talked about it yesterday with EC. He was on board here. Mike, I don't know if you're on board with Jake Knapp. I will tell you at 32 to 1, I still think we're getting a pretty good number. I believe it opened at 42, went down to 36, and has now stabilized in that 32 range. So this is the best number you're probably going to get. If you recall, I faded Jake Knapp last week. Well, kind of. I faded him in the first round against Max Homa, which was a huge mistake for two reasons. One is because Max Homa was absolutely terrible. The other reason was Jake Knapp, who I thought wasn't fully back yet, actually was. He had a pretty good first round, stumbled a little bit in rounds 2 and 3. I mean, it wasn't bad at all. But then in round 4, just really picked it up. Gained a ton on approach in round 4 and in general. I think he's a really good course fit here. We'll see. There's some course changes here at the Rocket Classic at Detroit Golf Club. We'll see how that plays out for everybody. But Jake Knapp has the length. We'll see about his accuracy off the tee and how much that hurts him. But most importantly for Jake Knapp, the approach and putter seem to be back. The game in general seems to be back. And if you recall, the beginning of the season, Jake Knapp was pretty dominant, not necessarily winning every tournament, but top 5, top 6 in really good fields, much better fields than this. So I think we're getting some value here because if Jake Knapp is in fact back at 32 to 1, I mean, this guy is probably as good as the guys that are in that 17 to 20 to 1 range. So I don't think he's getting the respect he deserves, which makes sense because we've only seen it for a little bit since working back from the injury. But I think we're getting a good number here. More on this tonight at 7 o'clock on the early wedge. Mike McClure, any thoughts on Jake Knapp or any of these big names in Detroit?
Yeah, Jake Knapp's interesting. I like him. I will say he was someone that I wanted to see decent results from to really buy back in. Just injuries like that, we've seen it with a lot of golfers over the years. It's so like the margins are so slim in golf anyway when you're talking about being in form versus not in form. But the fact that he was dealing with basically multiple injuries, right? Mm-hmm. It was the wrist and the thumb. It wasn't just like a common wrist sprain. It was a thumb and a wrist. It appears to be back. And if it's back, he's got the distance and he's excellent on the putting greens. So, I'd rather continue to try and be early versus late because when he was healthy, he was profiling as, you know, top 15 to top 20 kind of player in full strength fields. And that's certainly not what we have here.
That's right. All right, let's get to the home run chart. We'll get to some more baseball questions too. Ben, if you don't mind putting that up for us, that was quick. These are the Sports Line Model top MLB home run plays, courtesy of Jacob Fetner and the Inside the Lines crew. We got Bryce Harper, plus 360 versus plus 475. Ty France, plus 435 versus plus 550. And Hunter Goodman, plus 216 versus plus 325. Certainly a lot of value. That's the story being told by this Sports Line Model. And the Sports Line Model has been pretty good all year. Sniper, any thoughts on these three names or anybody else?
Yeah, so you got Harper against Sandy Alcantara, reasonable there. France is a righty against Michael Lorenzen, which I'm surprised. But like I said, everybody's been hitting Lorenzen. It's just I was more lefty heavy on that one. And Goodman's always a good play. I also had down, I mentioned Ellie De La Cruz at home in the day game of the doubleheader against Slade Ciccone. Also, Kyle Stowers against Aaron Nola. Nola's given up 25 home runs this year. Stowers, the lefty against Nola. And I've got to throw out Brandon Lau. They're facing a righty in Brandon Pfaadt, so why not?
Yeah, Brandon Lau, an MVP of this home run chart all season. Big Cheesy, who's super sharp, says, love Sheets home run, whoever said that. Yeah, that was earlier in the show. Somebody brought that up. Let's go to some questions here. Big Cheesy, Matt, I'm going to roll this right off you. He likes, this isn't even a question, so get your response to what he likes here, over 9 in the Diamondbacks-Pirates game.
It's fought against, who was going for the Pirates there? Bubba Chandler. Yeah. And he probably wouldn't even get that deep in the game. The Pirates have bullpen issues. Yeah. I could see that one for sure.
All right. Sox Nation Calvin says, what about the over in the Aces game? I think it's in that 179 range.
Yeah. That was the one that I like the under on that you can throw that into that parlay. I'd prefer to take the under on that one.
Do you, from Jeff Stenberg, do you like the Sparks plus 4.5 at minus 105 tonight?
I love that play. And you can even get a 5.5 out there right now on FanDuel. But Liberty auto fade for me right now until Leo Fiebich comes back. Like, they're 3-10 against the spread without her. She's just one of those players who doesn't fill up the box score. So on paper, you know, markets don't really understand how valuable she is, but she's like their only versatile wing defender. So their perimeter defense just kind of a turnstile without her. So I love the Sparks in this one.
Mike No Ticky says he wants to do a 3-leg parlay, which you don't necessarily always recommend, but how do we feel about Mensick, Shelton, and Paul, a 3-leg money line parlay at plus 107?
Okay. Should they all win? Yes, they should all win their matches. They should all advance. Preferred the 2-leg with Shelton and Paul a little more. The thing that I would be cautious with in terms of tennis like this, it's a lot easier to get upset outdoors in the heat at this particular spot in best of three, you know, non-major championships. Like when I'm looking to parlay some of these things like this, I'm looking, you know, unless you're betting underdogs, which we're not here. We're talking about favorites in a money line parlay. When we're talking about trying to parlay bigger favorites like that, I really would like to do it more at Grand Slam events where you've got best, you know, best of fives, where you're essentially giving a longer window to let that skill set really kind of materialize. So it's higher variance when you're talking about, you know, extremely warm temperatures outdoors at this time on hard courts. But yes, they should all win. No, I'm not playing it with you.
All right, fair enough. By the way, somebody mentioned 43 Darren Sproles. That is a really good shout out to Darren Sproles. Let's get to one or two more questions before we get to the recap screen. Shout out to Moshi, who says, what's up, guys? Liking the Brewers Giants first three under 2.5 at minus 130. That's a very specific play, but probably pretty sharp because it's coming from Moshi. There was a Chris Sale over 7.5 Ks. Yeah. At plus 112, Sniper.
Multiple people asked about that. Yes. I mean, it's the Mets offense without Juan Soto in there. The Mets went off last night, so you would expect a little bit of evening out there for the Braves. So, yes, anything on the Braves and Sale, I love today.
Okay, here's one of those tricky questions, Sniper, where you get boxed in here. Braves or Red Sox for a better bet today?
I probably Braves, because it's the Red Sox are at Sacramento, and I just feel like in that ballpark in Sacramento, any offense could just completely go off. And, you know, Jake Bennett, but he's never pitched there before against Jump. Braves are better for me, a better bet today for me, but either one, they're both going to win in my opinion.
All right. Somebody asked me if I like Jordan Smith this week. No, not particularly on Jordan Smith. No strong opinion either way. He's been playing really well, actually, but not somebody who I think is going to win the tournament. Maybe somebody in the top 30 market or top 40 market I would consider. Let's see. I don't think we have a ton more questions here. Oh, Philly's money line from Jacob. Sniper, any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I don't love it. I mean, they haven't been playing well at all right now. They have a top-heavy lineup. I know Sandy Alcantara's inconsistent, but Aaron Nola is on the mound for the Phillies, and you just feel like you're starting in a hole there. So, no, I don't like that.
And Zach, I want to touch base with you here on any of the baseball plays that we discussed. Anything that jumped out to you where you felt like you needed to respond to?
Well, the Phillies, I agree with Matt there, especially with the Marlins ending that 12-game losing streak. But Aaron Nola did shut down the Marlins in his start earlier this season, 6 innings, gave up just one hit and what was a 1-0 game. I probably would like the total under on that as well. And when it comes to the Red Sox or the Braves, I think the Red Sox is a tricky one. They've got that long road winning streak. They barely won yesterday. That Rafael Grand Slam barely got over the wall. So I don't know if I would touch the Red Sox today. And then for a home run prop, I do like Matt Olson of the Atlanta Braves.
All right. And then we got to end on this question because I want to keep the NFL involved from top to bottom if we can as we lead up to NFL season. Crispin, very sharp guy in his own right, big part of this show now. Thank you for being in here. He says Baltimore Ravens to miss the playoffs at plus 275. Mike, you and I did a show that I think is maybe on the Sportsline YouTube channel already, where we talked about NFC and AFC one seeds and who's going to win the Super Bowl and things of that nature. Some of those long-term futures. The Ravens came up on that show. I can't remember what side of the Ravens you were on.
I'm very neutral on the Ravens. I think there's some value on Cincinnati to win the division on the number that's currently available. Baltimore to me is kind of like the Green Bay Packers for me as well. Like I think the upside we know is there. I could make the case for the Green Bay Packers making it to the Super Bowl, and I could definitely bet the Packers to miss the playoffs. Right. I think it would be a long shot, and it is at plus 275. I think a lot has to go wrong for Baltimore to still miss the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think there are many scenarios that they lose the division to Cincy and still get in as one of those wildcard spots. So I'm not ready to play it. I think the price point is probably fair at that point. I'd have to really go look at my number on it. My guess is it would just be one where I'm not betting Baltimore really in any way.
Zach, I want to get your thoughts. Mike and I, two that are pretty big on Cincinnati's upside this year going into the new season. Zach, go ahead.
Yeah, for me, with the Ravens missing out on the playoffs, I agree with Mike. It's not something I would wager. But Lamar Jackson's one of those quarterbacks right now in his career that you're just like 50-50 on right now. He's had some questionable track record on if he's going to play in these games, misses a stretch of games. How are they going to do without Harbaugh? But they do have the ninth easiest schedule in the NFL. And then to close out the year, the final four games are all divisional games. You've got two against Pittsburgh, one against Cleveland, one against Cincinnati. So they can dig themselves out of a hole and sneak into the playoffs late in the season, like Mike said. So I would not play that prop to miss the playoffs.
Typhoon says Bengals and Cowboys exacta. That would be the Super Bowl exacta, which must be somewhere in the range of 150 to 200 to 1. My exacta was Bengals Rams with the Rams winning. That was 90 to 1. Real quick, while we're here, and we'll get to the recap screen right after this. Zach, if you had to, I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to anyway. And Mike, I'm going to go to you next, and Sniper, you next, and Calvin, you next. We're going to do it really quick. The two teams in the Super Bowl this year, Zach, who do you got?
I've already said the Rams, and that's everybody's pick right now. And when Aaron Donald, if he does say he's coming back, we know that's going to continue to move. I know they're a favorite right now. Out of the AFC, so tough. I want to have a sleeper. Not there yet. So I'm just going to say the Rams to win the Super Bowl.
All right, Mike McClure.
Let's go Buffalo.
Okay, Buffalo. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Bills for me. The NFC, I think – the Eagles go on a little run in the postseason.
Whoa.
So I will go Bills Eagles.
I'm going to go as far to say, if you want to take like a long shot and miss the playoffs, like it wouldn't be the Ravens for me, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Might be the Eagles. I think they could self-destruct on offense. I could be completely wrong. They'll probably make the playoffs. Sniper, go ahead.
I'll go with the Bengals in the AFC. I didn't even know they were supposed to be that good, but my roommate from IU was a big Bengals fan, and we always rooted for the Bengals and Bears every Sunday. So I'll do that. And while I'm here, I might as well just throw on the hat and say Bears over Bengals.
Bears over. Well, the Bengals aren't supposed to be that good, but they are certainly a dark horse candidate in the AFC. Calvin, go ahead.
I'm going to go with the Rams, and I think the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to get back.
Smart.
Mike, big Chiefs fan. Hey, listen, Patrick Mahomes looks healthier than we thought he was going to be at this point heading into training camp. So Chiefs certainly might bounce back. Mike McLaurin in the chat, for those of you that are listening to the audio version, he says the Broncos miss the playoffs. A lot more controversial takes coming up on the Early Edge and on CBS Sports Network and on HQ. So make sure you're dialed into all the platforms and make sure you're subscribed to the Sportsline YouTube channel. Let's get to the recap screen before we spin completely out of control and just start talking football for the next hour. Rocket Classic outright, Jake Knapp, 32-1. That's for me. More on the outrights, of course, tonight at 7 o'clock on the Sportsline YouTube channel with the Early Wedge. We go to the WNBA, Storm plus 9.5, minus 112. And I got Calvin to give us a sneak peek into what he thinks about the Wings tomorrow on the money line. So make sure you listen for that as well. ATP Washington, Stefanos versus Tsitsipas, plus 111. Over Alex de Minaur. We've got Garrett Cole over 6.5 Ks at plus 110 and Jackson Merrill over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, minus 115. Of course, those from the sniper. Zach Simony, Yankees team total over 4.5 at plus 112. And we've got a sports line pick. The sports line pick is, survey says, Detroit Tigers money line, minus 135. That one courtesy of EC. And then, of course, the home run chart. We got Bryce Harper, Ty France, and Hunter Goodman. All right. What great participation from the chat on Talkback Tuesday. Of course, stay for another 30 minutes and talk NFL, says Danny Brasco. Well, you'd have to jump on as well. Don't worry, we'll have special NFL shows on this YouTube channel coming up very soon. Big thank you to Matt, Mike, Zach, and Calvin. Of course, Ben on the ones and twos and threes and fours. And a big thank you to everybody in the chat, everybody who listens to this show after the fact, everybody who puts some positivity in the YouTube comments or in this chat or just in general in our Sportsline Discord. We appreciate every single one of you. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock for the Early Edge. Until then, we rest our case.